Nick is a winner. He has faced adversity early in his career, but through hard work and perseverance, he led his team to a Super Bowl championship in 2017, and in so doing, was selected as the coveted Super Bowl Most Valuable Player. The next season, 2018, Nick stormed back with his team again and very nearly brought his team to the NFC Championship game. Nick has earned the respect of his teammates, coaches, ownership, and fans wherever he has been.
That is the voice of Tom Coughlin, who runs the Jaguars. Seth once played for Tom Coughlin in Jacksonville, discussing his new quarterback, Nick Foles. Mark Vandermeer is in. Which team is going to finish last in the AFC South?
Tennessee.
Why Tennessee?
And I think it could be 8-8. I think 8-8 could be last. It's happened before in the AFC South.
That
in 2007, the Texans, or was it 8? I want to say it was 8, one of those years, 8 or 7. The Texans were 8-8 both those years, and they were the last place team. And it's possible that this happens again. It was 8 because the Titans went 13-3. The Colts went, I don't know what they went, but they went to the playoffs. The Titans won the division that year, and they lost in the first playoff appearance. Anyway, the point is this. I think all four teams are good, but I believe the Jaguars got that much better with Foles, and it'll be a race between those two teams to stay out of the cellar. Obviously, everyone's going to pick the Colts to finish first. I get it. I understand why.
You think it'll be that much of consensus?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Everyone's going to pick the Colts to finish first because they're going to say, well, look, you lost to them at home twice late in the season last year. How can you pick yourselves, even if you make certain improvements, unless it's, full scale, whatever. It's just not going to look good enough on paper to make people pick you over them. I'm not saying they can't finish ahead of them, but that's just going to be the prognostication right there.
It is interesting how quiet they've been, given all the cap space that they have. I understand being patient and approaching things in a specific way, but mm-hmm. You would also think that the Colts could maybe make another move to add an arsenal for Andrew Luck. And, I mean, Devin Funchess isn't really moving my needle. I don't know about you.
No, but he could help them because look at what they've done with guys who a lot of people have left for dead, so to speak, in this league. I think the Colts and the Texans are both culture teams. They want it the way they want it. They want it internal. They're going to be very careful with the chemistry on the team, and they're going to move from there. They're not going to bring in guys. That's why I asked Seth about the big money contract free agent coming in and how it possibly rocks the boat. I'm not saying it's the reason, but I'm wondering if that's a factor as well.
Yeah. It's always like that's one of those things where I think there's no hard and fast rule. I'm worrying about how a free agent is going to affect the locker room. And it depends on is it a veteran player who's actually earned it? Is it a guy that's been a whole lot of promise but not actually delivered on it? And why are you paying him based on his production? And then three, and maybe most critically, is the guy an a-hole?
Well,
if he's an a-hole, then it's not going to be well received in the locker room.
Then the other thing is the organization has this huge contract like Norwell with the Jags, and it's not working out so well so far. Not that he's a bad player, but you're not getting everything out of him. And,
right.
I don't know what kind of impact a guard makes for that particular football team. Is Nick Foles a culture changer for the Jaguars, though? That's what you have to ask yourself. I think that he makes a difference, but he's not the difference for them. I do believe it'll be an upgrade.
I've never heard, every time I've talked to somebody in Jacksonville about Bortles, I get a whole lot of if you dig a little deeper, I'm going to tell you a juicy story. I've never felt like digging for it.
But yeah, don't you feel like he got a nice send-off from them?
Yeah, but he doesn't get rave reviews for his work ethic or his commitment or his drive or anything like that. Where I feel like Nick Foles gets rave reviews. Even before the Super Bowl, people would talk about how much they loved him as a guy, as a leader, as a person, he cares about his teammates, all of that. So I think from that standpoint, however much that affects the culture, I think there's going to be a better feeling. Jalen Ramsey isn't going to have to grit his teeth when he talks about Nick Foles the way he had to grit his teeth when he talked about Blake Bortles.
Over the last couple of days, guys, when I've been doing afternoons with all these former players, we had an NFL free agency roundtable on the Triple Threat. The consensus seemed to be on Nick Foles is that bringing in Nick Foles, at the very least, calms down a very angry defense that was tired of seeing what that offense was doing. Right. And I go back to when I was going in the locker room in 2016 and reporting on the Texans, and I just vividly remember one day. I don't know if it was just a day where I happened to catch a glance, but all the defensive players were sitting in the corner, and I imagine in my overactive imagination that they were thinking of ways to like get Brock Osweiler, lock him out of the locker room. And wait,
was Will Fork still here?
Yes. Will Fork was in the center of all of it. It was like Will Fork looked like he was Don Corleone, and they were all around him like conspiring.
Who gave the order? I never asked who gave the order.
We're discussing Mike, Seth, and Paul, Mark Vandermeer in, brought to you by Mattress Firm, what the AFC South is going to look like in 2019. I'm actually going to pick Jacksonville to finish last because of two reasons. One, their defense is not as good as it was in 2017. Number two, I am not that convinced that the coaching staff in Jacksonville will put Nick Foles in quite the same position to succeed as he was in Philadelphia.
I'm going to say this. Even though the Titans made great strides on defense last year, and I know that Mike Vrabel is a modern-day Gaston who can do all great feats and everything.
Right.
I think that Marcus Mariota is still Marcus Mariota. Like, Nick Foles is a limited quarterback, but at least I've seen Nick Foles perform in big-time situations. He's capable. He has an upside. I have yet to really genuinely see Marcus Mariota's upside. I held out for a long time. Paul Gallant saw it first and saw it most authoritatively. I think Marcus Mariota is going to continue to get worse throughout his career.
And that's really sad for that draft where you have Winston and Mariota going 1 and 2. How horrendous is that?
Yeah, those two have worked out just spectacularly. I mean, basically the same guy off the field, too.
I was talking to Johnny about this. It's so funny to say the jury is still out on a player entering year 5 or whatever, but that's kind of the feeling with both of those guys. It's like, well, if they do this and do that, things can sort of work out. The best-case scenario for both of those guys is, say, Alex Smith, you know, somebody who hadn't performed well as the number one overall pick, and then eventually gets the right coordinator, the right mix, and he starts performing very well.
I think that's realistic. I mean, Mariota has more physical talent, I think, than Alex Smith does, but realistically, given that Alex Smith was a legitimately above-average quarterback in Kansas City, I think that's an overall fair synopsis.
He looked good for the 49ers when Harbaugh got there.
He did.
Kaepernick looked better, and then he was free.
Would you rather have healthy, young... Oh, Alex Smith in his prime versus Marcus Mariota in his prime. I'm taking Alex Smith in a heartbeat.
Well, he became better, and now the question is, can Mariota even reach that level?
But Alex Smith was already labeled a bust.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm just
until Harbaugh.
There's a similarity with all these changes Mariota's had with his coordinators and coaches.
Coordinator.
Like Alex Smith had early in San Francisco until he got Jim Harbaugh. Time now for Mad Takes on a Friday. Mark, I'll start with you. You're a big basketball guy, and you have one college rule you want to put in the NBA, two NBA rules you want to put in college.
All right, in the NBA, give me a minutes left in the game threshold, like 2 minutes. I'll say 2 minutes. After 2 minutes left in an NBA game, no more full timeouts, only 20-second timeouts, meaning you can jam in a 30-second commercial because there's time for it, right?
Yes.
Like the NCAA tournament. Everyone's going to see this a week from now. Just go with that 30-second commercial, bring me back to the game. You don't need a full timeout to talk about. You know what they talk about in NBA timeouts? How to get the ball inbounds, because it is difficult against all those athletes. And then after that, it's, all right, Harden, you take it on the wing. Either we're going to pick and roll or you're just going to do something with it. That's the play, all right? The play really is the ball inbounds. And you guys do practice sometimes. You don't need a full timeout. And it's going to be better TV viewing. Give me that 20-second only timeout after 2 minutes in the game. I'm sold.
Can I guess which NBA rules you would put in college?
Guess.
I'm going to guess that late in the game, when you call a timeout, automatically you advance the ball to half court.
Thank you.
I agree with that. Listen, it's more drama at the ball at half
it's
court.
It's much better.
It's better.
And you know what? Give me the 24-second clock. It's time. Let's go.
I'm down with all this.
Let's go with the 24-second clock.
Totally agreed.
We're big boys here. We can handle it. You know, for years, they were still working with the 35. Look, give me the 24-second clock. It's the most gorgeous thing about the NBA is that you have that clock. You got to put that ball up.
And the clock, obviously, the shot clock moves way quicker than you think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's flying.
And, yes. But
part of that, too, there's like under the old ways, like they've changed the, like how aggressively you can play defense. The shot clock wouldn't have mattered. It would have been like, 24 seconds for an even sloppier shot put up. Where now I think they might be ready for it.
I like all these suggestions.
This is madness.
It is madness. Go ahead, Paul.
Guys, are you ready for the new hot reality TV show? Oh, I cannot wait for this one. from the creators of The Jersey Shore comes A Double Shot at Love with Vinny and DJ Pauly D. Guys, this is going to be fantastic. I cannot wait. I am a big fan of The Bachelor. By the way, The Bachelor wrapped up this week. I have all sorts of takes on it. I'm sure you've okay. just been waiting hold all on. Week long for them.
You got to hold up for 1 minute, though, because honestly, I understood about 10% of the first thing you said.
Like, what those guys are Jersey Shore guys?
Who was,
so Vinny and Pauly D from the Jersey Shore. Pauly D is the guy with the big blowout.
I have no idea who anybody is.
Yeah, all right, go on.
Jersey God, Shore. You are so pop culture in the dark. Pauly D is the only character on the Jersey Shore that is remotely likable. He's the actually entertaining one because they've all gone on with their lives and he happens to still be like single and crushing it in Las Vegas where he's a DJ and he actually makes a really good amount of money or so.
You just like his first name.
Well, duh. But yeah. Also, he's the best character on it. So I don't know if you guys ever watched the other trashy television shows where there was A Shot at Love with Flava Flav.
And there I watched
was
that.
A Shot at Love with the guy from Poison, Brett Michaels.
Yes.
And this is the next avenue
this
of
is Double
the show.
Shot of Love.
Yes, with Vinny and Pauly D, who are the biggest bros on the
you
Jersey
get two
Shore.
Shots.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm excited, you know, guys.
Come up with something new, people.
No, this is good.
This is new.
This is good.
This is the new. It's the same new guy.
Because the other side, like, I think Mad About You is coming back.
What?
Like all these shows.
What?
They're,
really?
They're Helen Hunt? Yeah, like, you know, Roseanne came back. I think I heard that Mad About You is coming back, which was never even all that popular show to begin with.
Yes.
It was. Yeah. Just, it was because it was between Friends and Seinfeld, right? Wasn't it? Wasn't Mad About You the 8:30 show?
Oh, is that what it was?
That's why it made it, because it had a built-in audience.
It was like,
lead-in.
So Thursday night was must-see TV and some crap that will make this sit true.
Exactly.
It's like Night Court once upon a time was after Cheers, and that's why people watched it. That's it.
This is the story that so many people are talking about this week, this college admissions scandal where all these celebrities, athletes, et cetera, were paying money to have their kids designated as athletes, even though they didn't play the sports or helped out with SATs illegally. Phil Mickelson confirmed Thursday that he and his wife hired the main guy here, William Singer, and his for-profit college tutoring company to prepare their kids for the college admissions selection process. But he said that they didn't know anything about any of this. We are shocked as everybody in the last few days. Joe Montana, the greatest quarterback of all time, also issued a statement on Thursday saying his family used Singer's company, but it was nothing more than for consulting.
This is
what
great.
Did they think they were paying for?
Maybe just consulting.
No, wait. Maybe some of the consulting was above board. There might have been like a platinum level.
Well, what am I missing here? Is tutoring for the entrance exams? Is that?
Oh, you haven't heard this whole story?
No, I've heard. I've heard the story.
Okay.
But what
are you asking? Is tutoring illegal? No, it's not.
Yeah,
illegal.
No.
Right. It's fine.
If it's just tutoring, isn't that okay?
Yes.
Yeah. Is it clear that it's just tutoring?
Well, in the case of Phil Mickelson in Montana, nobody knows. Nobody
right.
Knows.
That's all I'm saying. No, everybody's pleading ignorance. Color me skeptical.
I know what you mean.
This is because the same thing, Mark, this happened to me with Balco. So Balco, the Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative that was
Barry Bonds.
Giving designer steroids to Barry Bonds and all these guys on the Raiders and everybody, the way they got people in was they would tell you, hey, we're going to do a urinalysis of all your trace minerals and vitamins and figure out what you need. Like, we'll give you a customized vitamin formulation.
Right.
So, like, that was their hook. And I paid several hundred dollars. At this time, I had no idea what they were other than people were talking about, oh, this Balco company does good work. So it was almost like shy of $1,000 to get this urinalysis.
And then what happens?
And then they say, don't take a multivitamin for 2 weeks, then do this analysis. They take the analysis and then they're like, hey, you need some vitamins. We're like, well, damn it. I'm not going to pay $1,000 for your formulation when I could have, like, what if I was just taking my multivitamin and the urinalysis
GNC.
Would have showed that it was fine? So I was like, screw you guys, Bay Area Laboratory Cooperative. You sound like a sham organization.
So they're waiting for you to ask them, hey, do you have anything more?
Yeah, or like they get you into the fold and they're like, hey, you like the results.
You have anything a little stronger than that?
Yeah, so I wonder with this company if they did have a bunch of legitimate people that also, like, once I get him into the fold, they would have asked him,
hey, you have any other ways to get my kid into college? Wink, wink.
I was stressed out when all that Balco stuff was going on because, like, all these names are coming out from former clients and everything.
What if Seth Page came out?
I was like, I got my urine tested. I walked around with a bag of my urine for 24 hours. I didn't do anything. My name never came out because, like, obviously I never did anything bad. So the fact that those guys' names are coming out is what makes me wonder about it.
Well, Joe Montana getting it is really big. Now, Tom Brady was suspended for 4 games for less evidence than what we have right now with Joe Montana, who's tied to cheating. So Joe Montana needs to be suspended for the entire 2019 season by the NFL.
Bam.
Where did Joe Montana's kids get into?
One played.
Cheating, that's for damn sure.
Well, one of his kids played at Notre Dame, like played quarterback.
If your last name is Montana, isn't that enough to get you into Notre Dame?
You would think.
Rudy Montana.
Poor Joe got duped into like thinking his kid had to get better SAT scores to get into Notre Dame.
I mean, how about any of these guys? Like, you would figure just having that amount of money would help your kid get into.
What's your name? Nicholson. Oh, yeah, can your dad speak at our commencement ceremony? Yes. All right, you're in.
Real quick, I saw this little story last week about these two first cousins who tied the knot in Colorado, where marriage between first cousins is allowed. Now they're trying to get legally married in their home state of Utah, where it's not legal yet, apparently. Which
that's surprising.
So, yeah, that was the surprise
way to suppress
right there.
Everything, America. I honestly, like, I'm shocked. I didn't think it was legal anywhere to have, like, including third world countries to marry your first cousin. But it does beg the question: who among you three are most likely to be in love with one of your first cousins?
I will be the least likely because my parents are both only children. So I have no aunts, uncles, nor cousins. Oh.
Yeah, but then it's Russian roulette, so to speak, because you never know when you're meeting a first cousin.
That's true.
Okay. Well, actually, you do.
I would have said, I would have said Mike just because there would have been a chance that his first cousins, like, live in Russia. So it'd be kind of like, you've seen him once or twice in your life. There's an exotic appeal there. After that, I would go to Paul just because he's very horny.
But all my cousins are married. However,
is there one? Is there one that you'd like?
I have no comment on that matter.
That means yes.
It is a second cousin, sir.
Okay, there you go. Second cousin. That's fine. That's above board.
Mark,
I do. I have a first cousin.
A tantalizing first cousin?
I mean, she's kind of my age and everything. I love her, but I would never. I mean, because she's like my sister.
Yeah. There's no
way.
I think it probably depends on, like, how close you are to them. Like, I was always close enough to my first cousins that I can't even imagine it.
I see family in her eyes. You know what I mean?
I can't relate to this because I have no first cousin, so I don't know what the relationship is like. Like, is it like having a brother or sister?
Not quite, but it would feel like, for me at least, I would feel really, really creepy. Like, I've never had the inclination to kiss one of my first cousins.
Fair enough.
And I've been really drunk around them. It's not like,
that's
it's just like,
of the
it's
day.
More,
that's a promo right there. Radio.
I can relate to that. I have one family friend who's like that. Okay, fair enough.
I'm going to put that on my resume. I've never even wanted to kiss a first cousin.
That should be on your Twitter and your profile. Nothing else.
Mark, what's on Texans All Access, and should people expect more signings in the next week or so?
Ooh, don't you want to know? Look, Friday of the first week of free agency. All right. Ed Reed. Sorry. Tyrann Mathieu.
Okay, yeah, Tyrann Mathieu last year.
Historic information for you. So it could go either way, gentlemen. Either way. But tonight, Bradley Roby will be on with us, and we'll have some other surprises as well.
It'll 6 p.m.
And I'm brought to you by Mattress Firm, and also Play My Golf Tournament, April 8th. I got a few spots left, houston.ja.org at South Shore Harbor, presented by Insperity, S&H Manufacturing. Thank you, Ron Carter and Bob Abernathy.
There you go. All Mark Vandermeer, the voice of the Texans.